ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Title, The History of the Life of Ajamila, and we are into text number 12. Nasnaka patyam evanam of disease can no longer touch him. Similarly, if one follows the regulative principles of knowledge, he gradually progresses towards liberation from material contamination. Okay, we will read the translation now responsibly. My dear king, if a diseased person eats the pure uncontaminated food prescribed by a physician, is gradually cured, and the infection of disease
can no longer touch him.
Similarly, if one follows the regulative principles of knowledge, he gradually progresses towards liberation from material contamination.
Not only in condemnation.
Forward. One is gradually purified if one cultivates knowledge even through mental circulation and strictly follows the regulative principles enjoined in the Shastras and explained in the next verse. Therefore, the platform of jnana, speculative knowledge, is better than the platform of karma, fruitive action. There is every chance of falling from the platform of karma to hellish condition, but on the platform of jnana, one is saved from hellish life, although one is still not completely free from infection. The difficulty is that on the path of jnana, one thinks that he has been liberated and has become Narayana and Bhagavan. This is another phase of ignorance. Heyi Ravindra Ravindraksha Vimukta Maninas Tvai Asta Bhava Avisutta Buddhayaha Aruya Krishena Parampadam Tata Patanti Adu Nadra Yushma Angaraya Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Because of ignorance, one speculatively thinks himself liberated from material contamination, although actually is not. Therefore, even if one rises to Brahma Jnana, understanding of Brahma, one nevertheless falls down because of not taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Nonetheless, jnanis at least know what is sinful and what is pious, and they very cautiously act according to the injunctions of the Shastras. O Ajnana Tibarandasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Upyatamena Tasmai Shri Guru Sri Chaitanya Manodisam Sabitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Tadati Sopaya Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadha Gautama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we see that it is a very, very intense and a serious topic to discuss. Yes? So today is the 12th verse from the first chapter. So in order for us to understand better, we should have the continuity, what we have learned so far, and what is the significance of this verse with respect to the previous verses. Now, if we can understand it, then we will follow it better. So, let us do reasonably good recap of things, because up to 11 verses, and there are a lot of substances which has been covered. So we will discuss that and then we will move into verse 12. So, in the beginning of this chapter, verse number 1 to 5, Maharaj Parikshit is basically, what is he doing? Verse 1 to 5, Maharaj Parikshit is talking. So what is he doing there? We discussed that last time. He very intelligently repeating what His spiritual master Sukadeva Goswami has been narrating from Canto 1 to 5. He's been repeating intelligently. That means he has been very attentive and is also intelligent because he's going to ask questions also. Unless you're attentive, you may not be able to ask questions. So here we see that Maharaj Parikshit is very attentive in listening all to the 5 cantos. And in the 6th canto, Sandeepni, he is raising some questions. Basically, he's going to raise now in verse 6. But 1 to 5 is basically, he is also recapping. It took a quick review. He said, in the text number 1, he was mentioning, he was talking about the subject matter of canto 2, he was saying. Then, in the text number 3, he was saying, you were mentioning about canto 3 and 4. Then in the text number 5, he said, you're talking about Priyavarta, families and all that. So up to 5, he was recapping what he has heard so far, because this is canto 6. Then in verse 6, he asked a question. What is the question he's asking? Very, very, very intelligent. Very important question for all of us. What the question is asking? He's saying how human beings could be saved from entering into hellish planet to avoid suffering and terrible pain which they're experiencing in the hellish planet. So how can human beings be saved from this kind of disaster? That was Parikshit Maharaj. He raised a question in verse number 6. In verse number 7 and 8, Sukadeva Goswami is giving an answer. But we have to bear in mind that Sukadeva Goswami is giving in different levels to his disciple. He is not immediately addressing the problem, or giving an answer, are giving a solution to the question. He is giving in different levels. That is the level you are going to see. Yes? So, in 7 and 8, Sukadeva Goswami is providing an answer. What he is saying is, atonement is the best. People have done sins, have done sinful acts, because they don't know their ignorance. We also discussed that last week. Their ignorance, they don't know. They don't know that, you know, one should not eat meat. One should not be, you know, intoxicated, etc., etc. They don't know. And therefore, people are committing sinful acts. Now, because of the sinful acts, they are being punished in the hellish planets. Yeah? So, Sukadeva Goswami is giving a response by saying, atonement in one way will help the person to rectify or to nullify the sinful actions, and therefore they can solve the problem. But what is happening is, we all know, because we have moved further from verses, that atonement is basically in the mode of ignorance. And therefore, that is not the solution. We also discussed that last week, that in the material world, there are pious and impious activities. That is Sukarma and Vikarma. As long as one is bound to the pious and impious activities, one cannot get out of the material world. Because the nature of this material world is like that. You have to act. And by acting, it could be a pious or it could be an impious activity. And therefore, one is bound to the material world. That's very nature. So, here, he says, yes, atonement we can do to nullify the impious activities. For example, someone has stolen something. What is the atonement for them? To give charity. Like that. So, you do a pious activity to nullify an impious activity. But still, we have to mind that this is still a material activity. There is one material activity, you are doing another material activity to nullify, to cancel. And not only that, in the verse number 7 and 8, Sukadeva Goswami is giving a wonderful analogy. What is the analogy saying? He is saying, an expert physician diagnoses and treats disease according to the gravity or the intensity of the disease. Therefore, one should also undergo atonement according to the intensity of one's sin. It's not that you kill someone and you give $1 as a charity or something like that. It's not like that. It should, according to the severity of one's sins, one should also undergo equal amount of atonement. So this is the point Sukadeva Goswami is mentioning in verse 8 and 7 and 8 through an analogy. But unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, do people know that they are doing sins? Do people know? They don't know. And are they atoning? Are they undergoing atonement? So, we have to come back to that point later. Just bear in mind. Then, what's happening is, in verse number 9 and 10, see, this is like a wonderful conversation between the Guru and disciple. Almost similar to Bhagavad Gita, you can say. Question and answer. A disciple asks me a question, a teacher is explaining, clarifying the question and giving the answer. So in a similar way, it starts on with a question and answer. Parikshit Maharaj, after hearing this atonement, he was not satisfied with the answer. Because what is his claim? What is he saying? He says, even after performing acts of atonement, one is forced to commit sins again and again. And therefore, this process of repeated sins and atonement is useless. Parikshit Maharaj is using the word useless in Srimad Bhagavatam. Not only that, we have to understand that as much as Sukadeva Goswami is an experienced, learned teacher, so also Parikshit Maharaj is an intelligent disciple. He gives back also through this. And not only that, Sukadeva Goswami gave an analogy. Parikshit Maharaj is giving back. Take this one more analogy from me. Because why I am not satisfied? What is he saying? He is saying, do anyone remember that? Exactly. Elephant bathing. Elephant, what it does is goes into the water, nicely take a shower, and then comes back into the land and throws some dust on the body. So what happens? 1 minute elephant is clean. The next minute elephant is dirty. 1 minute you do a pious activity. The next minute you do an impious activity. Again impious. For all the pious, you know, the credits you go and enjoy. For an impious activity, won't suffer. So this is like a merry-go-round. Is there any use in that? So Parikshit Maharaj is returning back. Take my analogy also. And he says, the elephant analogy. And then, what does Sukadeva Goswami do in verse number 11, which we have seen yesterday? He is saying, okay, I agree with what you say. But, he said, but that's not enough. One should rise above ignorance to Because karma kanda in one sense is ignorance. Why do we call it ignorance? Although it's described in the Vedas, because again we discussed last time. Any knowledge without the understanding of Krishna is ignorant, because everything is dwelling on the bodily platform. Krishna means beyond the three modes. So any knowledge which is not connected to Krishna is material in nature, and therefore it is useless, because it's going to give repeated birth and death. Because the whole existence of human mankind is to stop the cycle of birth and death, not to continue. And therefore it is useless. Anything with the material is going to produce one more action, a reaction. Action, reaction. And it is useless. And so, in the verse 9 and 10, that is done. The verse number 11, Sukadeva Goswami agrees with Parikshit Maharaj and continues that, yes, one should rise above ignorance, and not only that, one should come to the platform of jnana kanda, jnana, knowledge, which is higher than karma. Very good. So you are listening to it. One should come to the platform of jnana, because it is higher than karma. Interesting. Verse number 11, 12, 13, 14. All are addressing jnana aspect. Yeah? So let us, we are quickly analyzing what it is. But that's a little bit better way to know. So in the verse 6, Parikshit Maharaj asked a question. Verse 7 and 8, Subhadev Goswami says that what? Atonement. And for that, 9 and 10, Parikshit Maharaj says, I am not happy with your answer. Please give me another answer. Because anyway, it's useless. And so, Sukadeva Goswami, 11, 12, 13, 14 verses, is addressing about jnana. And soon, we will see later, we are not discussing now. Soon we can see, in verse 15, Sukadeva Goswami comes back to devotion service. You are going to see that. Yeah? So, in other words, Sukadeva Goswami is giving Maharaj Parikshit the answer which he has raised in verse 6. What does he say? He gives the answer in three levels. Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and Bhakti Process. He's going to say, the Bhakti process has still not come yet, it's going to come. But it will come in verse 15. So this is a summary so far. Yeah? By the expert teacher to the intelligent disciple, addressing different aspects. Now, when I was mentioning about this, when Parikshit Maharaj was mentioning about the acts of atonement, where one is forced to do sins again and again, he commits sin. Why is that? Why is one forced to do sin again and again?
Because this is the desire.
Desire. Yes, that we convert into habits.
Desire not to come into the room. In the heart.
Yes, all this is good. But how do one cannot come out of that? Yeah? For example, I'll give you a very, very quick, short story. How a particular habit is very difficult to overcome. I have my cousin. We all grew up together. We holidays we come together and all that. This person is okay. Somehow he picked up a habit of chewing, tobacco, or what you call betel nut. In India, after the nice prasad food, you put some betel nut. Just as a habit. Yeah, I have done it sometimes, because if you go to a wedding party, they keep some betel nut and all that, I just put something on. He put that, like that, he started that habit, you know, something after food he wants something to chew. And that ended up into a palm. And then he started taking palm parag. You know what is palm parag? It is quite, you know, slowly, it's a kind of intoxicant. Very light, you know, very light only. But it's allowed. It doesn't matter. You're taking coffee, tea, doesn't matter, palm parag. That also is okay. So, he started taking that. At one stage, he could not give it up. It's like addiction, like coffee or tea, you know. He has to take that every day, then at least once or twice. Then what's happened was, a few years back, I discovered that that has created a cancer in his tongue. It's a fact. It is a true story, I'm telling you. Yeah? And then, what has happened was, the doctor said that you should not, you know, be careful of that. But still, habits die hard. Can you stop a habit? But that's why we want to get into the habit of chanting. You know, that's a habit, good habit. It's a transcendental habit. We want to get into that. So this guy got into this problem. And then a stage had come, the doctor said that I have to cut your tongue. It is a true story. I have experienced, I have more to come. The tongue has been cut because he could not help it. And then I saw him in 2019 when I went to India, you know. He was my cousin anyway. And he said, how are you? He was able to talk, but not, you know. Imagine, you bend your tongue and talk. How it will be. So he's expressing and all that. He's able to, and I could understand very lightly, but his tongue is cut. The same thing over. So, this is the problem with karma kanda. Because you are doing material activity, you get attached to that. We see again, where did we see in the past the story of karma kanda? Someone is so much attached to karma kanda. Previously we saw. Who is that? Personality. A great personality was attached to karma kanda. And he was killing animals left and right. No, forgot. Prachaniya Bhadi. Narada Muni has to come and intervene. Yeah. Left and right. He will start one karma kanda activity. Yeah? It finishes again, you start one more. Again. In the process, what he was doing? He was killing animals. The animals was going and waiting there. You come, let me see. Narada Muni is saying, come on, look at this. What are you doing? And then he has to tell a story in the form of an allegory. And then he has to change. So this is the problem of karma kanda. They are thinking that they are doing pious activity, but in the process, they are doing impious activity. According to him, the goal of Prachaniya Bharat was, I want to have my next life very wonderfully, I want to enjoy in the heavenly planet. That was the goal. But in the process, he was killing animals. So that turned out to be impious activity. So anything in the material world, 1 minute it is pious, the next minute it can lead to impious activity. The devotees and the demons, they were churning the milk ocean because they wanted nectar. But what came in the beginning? Poison. This material world. You want something but you get something. Very nature of the material world. So, three levels have been addressed. So, how do we understand this three levels? Before we even go to the level, how do we understand? And why is Sukadeva Goswami giving in three levels? Why can't we say in verse, we can avoid the verse 7 to 14 and say yes, bhakti is a process. Why is he adopting this way?
Gradually,
yeah. That is also Sakila Prabhupada says to test the intelligence of the disciple. And all also, it is said that, say, an infant is there, a 2 to 3 year old child is there. The child doesn't know about sun or moon, but it has heard about his friends talking about moon and all that. So the child will come to the mother and say, I want to see the moon. Where is the moon? So what did the mother do? The mother has to gradually teach the child, yes? If you say go up, means the child will be confused. What is the moon? So the mother will say, do you see the tree over there? Which a child can relate to. Then the child will look at the tree. Then say, go to the top of the tree. Can you see a branch there? 2 branches. Yes, yes. Can you see between the branches? What is that? That is the moon. Different levels. So similarly, not that our Parishit Maharaj is not intelligent, but it is being addressed in that way. First is, yes, whatever is closer to you, the material world, tree, and then go above, and then give that knowledge. That is where knowledge is given in that way. Right? Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and then Bhakti process. So similarly, this knowledge has been given gradually, yeah? Because not everyone wants to take it. Not everyone can take up a bhakti process like that. Because of Srila Prabhupada's his mercy, then we can pick it up like that. Otherwise, it's not. One has to mature in jnana. Yeah? One must take up karma yoga, then he has to rise to jnana, or one must mature in jnana yoga. We discussed that in chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita. Then one matures, then he can come to bhakti. Unless you have a pure devotee, it's very difficult to pick up bhakti and constant support. If the International Society of Krishna Consciousness is not there, as Srila Prabhupada wanted, we cannot practice bhakti. It is just an exclusive movement for practicing bhakti. Imagine if ISKCON is not there, bhakti we cannot perform. We have to do karma yoga, jnana yoga, and then come back. Because this is the potent thing has given. Everything in one roof. And therefore, it's easier for us to practice. It's not available in any other yugas. Only in Kali Yuga we have got this golden opportunity. Okay. Now, we will come into the class. So far, it's only a preview to understand, come to that level. Otherwise, it's very, very serious topic. So, in this topic, what we are going to talk, we are going to talk about the futility of karma and jnana. That is what it is. In fact, that is a fact. Okay? The futility or the uselessness of karma and jnana and the superiority of bhakti, which we are not going to dwell on that. Because some of the speaker will be dwelling on it. Now, jnana yoga. Jnana. What is happening in that process? We discussed karma yoga, right? Where a person is attached to fruitive activities. What is fruitive activities? Enjoyment. Fruitive activity means he wants to enjoy by using his senses. But the senses, but the enjoyment sometimes it could lead to pious activity, or sometimes it could be impious. But generally, karma kanda people, they follow the scriptures, Vedanta. Generally. The deviations are also there. Yeah? But that process is very difficult to follow. Austerities and all that stuff. Including jnana yoga also, you know, jnana kanda also. The path is very difficult path. One has to follow very strictly. But the problem is attachment. One gets attached to that process. Like, you know, eating of that pampara. Huh? Whether they know it or not, they get attached. And the second one is, it is in the mode of ignorance. Bereft of Krishna's knowledge. And therefore, it is not addressed. But in jnana kanda, what is happening? A person rises, right, from karma to jnana. That is why Sukadeva Goswami is giving the higher knowledge. So, in jnana or in jnana, jnana kanda, what is happening? A person knows the difference between reality and illusion. He knows that he is a spirit soul. And having known that, he behaves in that manner, and that is why it's very difficult. See, at times, when we do, just a quick comparison, when we do devotional service, not all the time I'm knowing that I'm a spirit soul, correct? At times we may get the thought, but not all the time I'm a spirit soul. I know I should be attached to Krishna. I'm not thinking like that. I'm doing my service. And naturally there is a purity, and gradually we are going on. But this karma, jnana kanda people, they detach themselves from matter. This is a very, very troublesome process, very serious, rude process. You know, they have to detach from matter because they know that I am separate from matter. Therefore, all the activities are conscious. This is matter. I am spirit. I am away from that. So they always differentiate between matter and spirit. But what is the drawback in that? The drawback is when you isolate from matter and you don't want to do any materialistic activity because it's binding. They know also that materialistic activity will bind one to this material world. And therefore they want to be aloof superficially by trying to restrict their senses. But what happens, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, the soul is very active. Therefore, the soul wants to be active. But they are trying to detach and keep the soul, not give any engagement to the soul. In our process, it's a positive aspect. We want to engage the senses, and therefore the soul is happy because there's activity. But there they want to restrict and restrict. So what happens? They don't want to do devotional service. They want to stop all materialist activity. So what happens? They cannot do it. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says in many purports that this impersonalist Mayavadis, they, because they are spirit soul and they are trying to do this process and not surrendering to the lotus feet of Krishna, they will do all this philanthropic activities like building a hospital, building a school, because they have to do some activity. They don't want to surrender to Krishna. They don't want to do service to Krishna, but you have to do an activity. So what do? They do activities not in the transcendental mode. What do they do? That will be in the mode of goodness. And then, gradually, mode of goodness also is not very favorable because it will bring you down. Why? Why it will bring you down? Chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that there is always a competition between the modes. Today, at this point, 8:55, I'll be in the mode of goodness. But after half an hour, I'll be in the mode of passion. Then at 12 o'clock, I'll go to sleep in the mode of ignorance. Yes, there's a competition working on between the modes, and therefore one cannot be stable. And therefore, Krishna advises, what does he say? Tripunya Visharada. Transcend the three modes. Don't be the three modes. One should transcend the modes. This is our process. So, okay, that is what they do. Okay? Now, let us try to understand this Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and almost Bhakti Yoga, which is going to come, the three different levels, through an example, okay? So that we will understand it better. Because however much we talk philosophy, it will not go into my head. Because very dull. But if there is an example, then we follow it better. Yeah? And especially, we are all addicted, or we are all like prasadam and food. So if something is related to food, it goes immediately. Yes? So we'll see an example. Say, someone eats a wrong food and they develop an allergy. For example, there are some people where they put some peanuts into the mouth and immediately they get some rashes. Have you seen? I saw someone way back. I didn't believe, okay? They took some peanuts and immediately they had the rashes. So instant reaction. So say for example, okay, what about the rape example maybe? Now say someone takes a wrong food and gets some rashes. What is happening in karma kanda is the person is addicted to eating that wrong food, peanuts for example. He's addicted, like the palm parrot. So he's addicted, he cannot stop. He cannot stop. This is his position. So what he does, he may restrict the number of times, but still he has to put the peanuts. When he puts the peanuts in the mouth, what happens? What happens? What is the reaction? Eating. So this is the state of a karma kanda. So what he does, because he's itching, what will he do? Put a medicine. Can you keep on itching? You have to take an antihistamine. Itching. So when the person in the karma kanda, he takes peanut and he takes medication. He takes a wrong food, medication. Wrong food, medication. Is it good enough? That is karma kanda. Do something, elephant cleaning, dirty. Cleaning, dirty. See, eating wrong food, taking medication. Because he cannot rest. This is karma kanda. What is jnana kanda? Jnana, knowledge. What does he do? He knows, he has worked out. Yes, my problem is peanuts. So what should I do? I should?
Not to eat.
I should not eat. That is knowledge. Okay? So he says, oh, I found out my problem is peanuts. So I will not eat. And then he also is smart. So he thinks, because I am not eating peanut, I am not taking medication. Not needed. Correct? Yes? That is what it is. Jnana kanda. But what happens is, he has taken peanuts over a long time. There is also remnants in his blood. Yes? Just because you stop peanuts and you stop medication, does it mean that you will not eat? Once a while, not often. Once a month or something. Or once in a couple of weeks, correct? You will have that itching because your blood is already contaminated. And therefore it's going to pop up once a while. And therefore, what he should do? Yeah, he should not eat peanuts. He should continue the medication, whatever the medication, until his blood is clear of the contaminant. Correct? And then what happens? He will have a permanent solution. So this is known as bhakti yoga. Because our desire will pop up. Has any one of you have a desire which has gone like that and has not popped up? Right? Any desire which you have left it off and it's just gone like that? No. It will come after 1 month. Even after 10 years, it will come. Simple, hearing songs. Sometimes I will get a song which I've heard when I was 17, 18 years old, Some South Indian songs. Pop up. Then I'll be, without my knowledge, I'll be singing. Oh, come on, where is it? It pops up. It never goes away, Then we have to be mindful. Oh, okay. Yes? It pops out of the blue, Like that. So it's our impressions are from millions of births. Because the body is new. The body is this world, but the mind is very old. Lot of, you know, impressions of the mind. So, just to tell you this, how the impressions are our thoughts or our habits keep on coming. We'll just discuss a very short, just a very quick pastime, very quick pastime in Ramayana. What happened? Rama, at the end, Rama wanted to kill Ravana. Right? That was the last final climax. At that time, Rama is shooting, you know, arrows. And Ravana's head is being severed and it's going out. The moment one head goes, another head comes. Again he puts an arrow. Again the head goes, another head comes. Then Rama was again bewildered. What is going on? As a pastime, he was bewildered. What's going on? Then Vibhishana has to tell him, see, my brother has got a nectar in the heart. Unless it dries, the heads keep on coming up. Doesn't matter. So you have to destroy that nectar in his heart. So the Rama has to put the arrow into his arm and the nectar dries up. And then Ravana could be defeated and he dies. So our material desire is like that. It will never stop. This is my practical experience, correct? One after another, after another, after another. It never stops, like the head. So for that we have to attack it through chanting. The heart has to be clear. Unless the heart is clear, it's not going to work. Like how Rama had a difficulty. What we also discuss is this karma jnana. We have talked about it. What are the disadvantages? We should know that. Yeah? See, only if you know the process, karma and jnana, and then we know the disadvantages, then we can take a bhakti properly, isn't it? Unless we know, that's our human, correct? Unless we know that product is bad, we will not buy a good product, isn't it? So we should know what are the, why it is defective. Some points about the disadvantages of both this process. Okay? Now what are the disadvantages of karma yoga? Come on guys, you have been listening, right? What are the disadvantages? We already discussed that. The first one is, it's a merry-go-round, which means for the pious credits you go up. Once the pious credits are over, then you come back and do some sins. You go to the hellish planet, suffer, go up. It's a merry-go-round. That is the process. And the second one is, because it is again material activity, it will bind to this world. It will not give you liberation. There is no way a karma kandi is going to be liberated from this material world. It goes up and down, no? But he will be always in the weave. He cannot get out of there. Because he is not doing any activity beyond the three modes. He is not doing akarma. Akarma must be in place to get out. And the third one is, through karma kanda, one may think that their desires are controlled or it is being checked, but it is not. We saw the example of Ravana and also the Pankarava. We may think, oh, that's fine, it's under control. But it may be controlled, like the peanut, but after 1 month again it will get ashes. Because it is a desire, as Prabhu pointed out. Yeah? This desire, the root has to be uprooted. Yes?
The
seed, that is the root, yeah. The root has to come out. As long as the root is there, see, sometimes we see in the villages, whatever, maybe anywhere, there will be dry leaves. The dry leaves can be burned. You know, if it is burned, the dry leaves will be burned. But after some time, if you leave there, the tree will again grow and the green leaves will pop out. Because the root is not there. What is the point of burning the dry leaves, but the root is not destroyed? So this bhakti yoga process is root cause problem, attacking the root. The heart is cleansed. heartlessness, and therefore this is a higher level. Okay, and then disadvantage of jnana process. What is that? Srila Prabhupada has said that in the purport. What does he say in the purport? That one will think that he is Narayana. Look at that. Because one is able to control through this process, okay? One is able to detach. And he thinks that, yes, I am the controller. I can do anything. And then one more form of ignorance, Srila Prabhupada is saying. So therefore, we are not surprised that the impersonalists become Mayavadis. Where they think that they are God. Isn't it? Impersonalists. They think that they are God. You know, they're following the process. And then, it's difficult to practice jnana kanda or karmyana activities in Kali Yuga because one has to do a lot of austerities, kapha, sacrifices, you know, proper sacrifices. One may like the food, but in our case, what we do? We offer to Krishna and we purify and we take it, but we cannot eat. You have to detach yourself. So very, very severe austerities. That is not possible in Kali Yuga. And then this will take many births to perfect. Simple, we see in the case of Saubhara Muni. What happened? He was trying to control his senses, not through Krishna consciousness. What did Saubhara Muni do, Prabhu?
Went deep into Yamuna and gave tapas.
Can we do into this pond for 2 minutes? For how long? Many, many years, right? And he could not control the sense. Eyes was looking at 2 fishes mating. That's it. He came back and he married 50 girls. Now look at this. A big yogi. Controlling. Of all the senses, so-called controller, could not stick on. And now, because we are discussing this, the difficult part of jnana is being discussed. All of you, please watch out. Next to tomorrow. Tomorrow, verse number 13 and 14 is one set. And that is talking about the practice part of it. The 11 and 12 talks about the general aspects of jnana yoga. Yeah? Jnana kanda, whatever you call it. But the next verse, 13 and 14, is talking about the practice involved. And tomorrow you will know. Then you will think, jnana yoga or jnana kanda is not for me. Tomorrow you only realize. So much austerity, so much tapa. It's so dry philosophy. Very dry. So we cannot take that. Okay? And so finally, the story of Ajamil is going to come up soon. So what we learn is little bit of bhakti. So that is enough. That the sarangitator is sinful, whether it's done intentionally or unintentionally, does not matter. Little bit of bhakti. Service to Krishna will protect us from all, from the greatest danger. Correct, Prabhu? Right? Small amount of bhakti. What we are doing now, that will protect us. Okay, and once finally to conclude, our Srila Prabhupada in one of the classes, okay, that was Ajamila class, then we said, today we are talking about the story of Ajamila. Yeah, and then he said, we are discussing in Bhagavatam, there is only one Ajamila. In the material world, everyone is Ajamila. Because he has seen, he is giving that process. So he is able to see in the Bhagavatam there is only one Ajamila. But in the material world, most of the people are Ajamila only, all sinful. So for them, what is the solution for them? What is the solution for them? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. It's only solution. Okay, so we'll stop here. If there's any quick questions or comments or even corrections.
You mentioned about the atonement as an ignorance. And I was trying to understand in what level would be ignorance. Because also atonement can be considered as a part of the mode of goodness, trying to do five activities. You mentioned about atonement as completely ignorance, you said.
Not completely ignorant. It is in the mode of ignorance.
And but also if we understand atonement as a five activity means goodness.
Because we see that in the example of Prachinya Parisad. Yeah, it is prescribed in the Vedas that you can do the sacrifice, killing an animal. But what he did was, because he was overly attached, yeah, he went on doing that process, and in the process he was killing a lot of animals. So Narada Muni has to come and intervene. So it is a karmakanda process. In the karmakanda process, very selfish. What is my goal? So Prachinya is a standing example, a practical example. So Prachinya Bharat was, I want to enjoy my next life, I want to have a wonderful enjoyment. I should not suffer. And so what he did lot of rituals, yeah, karmakanda sacrifices. And in the process, he was killing lot of animals. And Narada Muni has to come and stop him.
Can we understand that there are different levels of ignorance? Because it is simple fact to understand that we are not dividing. So that we are still identifying with the God's ignorance and can be also in the mode of goodness. So my question basically is if we can understand that there are different levels of ignorance.
Probably. But our, see, for us, right? For us is forgetfulness of Krishna's ignorance. Is it? That is our basic understanding. So anything, you know, if any activity which is not connected to Krishna, that means it's connected to our body, whether it's a gross body or subtle body. And therefore, that activity is not recommended for us. I'm just giving a very broader overview. Yeah? So, in our process, any activity, reading or studying or jumping or going, anything, if it is not connected to Krishna, then it is going to bind us. In that sense, yeah? So any bodily activity for us, Atmendra Priti is Kama. Krishnendra Priti is Prem. So anything you do for Krishna is love. Love means devotional service. Anything you do for me is lust. Lust means attached to the material world, rebirths. Like that.
So the motivation is the thing. Motivation. If you are motivated to serve Krishna, then any activity is fine.
Correct. So that is why if you are in the company of devotees, one will be motivated, right? See, in the company of devotees, no one will say, come on, let's go for a movie. Let's go. Isn't it? Even if I think I want to go to the movie, when I come, I'll be ashamed to tell the devotee. You know? Let's go for a movie. What they say? Isn't it? So like that, you know, motivation, correct Mataji, association, motivation, positive. And that is why again, we have to thank Srila Prabhupada millions of times. Because if Srila Prabhupada has not created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, then where we will seek the association of devotees, isn't it? Here naturally it's available. I am just coming into the temple and I can see the devotees naturally available. But to go into the company of devotees is not easy also. If you just go outside into the dance street, you're lost. So here is all devotees association. So it's a wonderful. So International Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant, Srila Prabhupada says, is meant to improve your love, devotion service to Krishna and ultimately go back to God. That's a process. Isn't it? If you really think that's a process, isn't it? If someone is not interested in Krishna, don't come. If you understand this phenomena, what a wonderful gift, naturalist gift, Srila Prabhupada has given, then fine, take up the process. Otherwise, there are so many other processes, karma kanda, jnana kanda, you know, and you can go and struggle, and then by the time you realize, you would have taken already several millions of births. It's a quick process. Anyway, more Bhagavatam speakers will be giving, Mataji, in eventually, you know, more to say, you know, as the bhakti process comes, you know, it will be unfolded many times. How bhakti process is so powerful, you know? Very simple, Achamala again. Only name chanting, he did not do, you know, full-fledged. Just little bit of devotion service has completely eradicated his sin, you know. This is really, very powerful process, isn't it? That is the whole story. Sukadeva Goswami is going to tell that gradually, how he unfolds the story of Ajamala, just to prove that Krishna's holy name is so powerful. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna. We'll stop it. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaura Prema ki jai.